Today on Maine Calling, is it getting easier to drive an EV in Maine? Some states, including California, New York, and Florida, have thousands of electric vehicle charging locations. Maine has a fraction of those. However, more and more EV charging stations are coming online every week, including in tourist spots like Mount Desert Island. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we find out where Maine stands in terms of EV infrastructure. Many Mainers like the idea of electric vehicles, but have range anxiety and worry about charging. We'll answer questions about how challenging it is to depend on an EV, especially in rural Maine. And we'll learn about EV incentives for both vehicles and home chargers. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Support for Maine Calling comes from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. And Highland Green, committed to fostering a resident-driven, active lifestyle community for those 55 and better. HighlandGreenLifestyle.com. And Bangor Savings Bank, committed to helping Northern New England communities thrive. You matter more. Bangor.com. And North Yarmouth Academy, a 2025 AP Platinum School recognized by College Board, inviting families to tour campus, shadow a student, and explore its new dormitory.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Have you ever thought about buying an electric vehicle or EV? Maybe these surging gas prices are motivating you to learn more about them. Well, today we're going to learn how well Maine is set up for EV drivers right now, and whether this charging infrastructure is sufficient to prevent a common EV concern, which is known as range anxiety. Joining me for this update is Michael Stoddard, who is Executive Director at Efficiency Maine, Joyce Taylor, Deputy Commissioner with the Maine Department of Transportation, and Chuck Hayward, EV Infrastructure Design and Analyst with Revision Energy. We invite you to join the conversation. Have you considered buying or leasing an EV? Do you already own one? What are your questions? Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Welcome to all of you, and thanks so much for joining us. Joyce, I'm going to start with you. Give us an update. How many charging stations are in Maine? What kind of charging stations are they? Talk about the levels and what the emphasis is right now.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. So I'm going to defer to Michael on the number of chargers because it gets complicated in terms of what we count with ports. But we've made some progress. And one thing that we've really focused on in the last year or so is trying to get some of these chargers into destination areas like Greenville and Rangeley and the ski areas, and trying to hit Western Maine. Michael and I and our teams have been really focused on Aroostook County and down East Maine, because we know if, you know, you have an uncle you want to go visit up in Van Buren and you think, geez, I can't get there, you may not buy that EV, right? So people really do want to know they can go anywhere in Maine. We're still waiting on installing some of those ones, but we've made progress. We've got contracts for the Aroostook County. We're still working on down east. We've made progress going up the 95 corridor. We've made progress in Western Maine. We've got a boatload of level twos going in. I like to joke every brewery in Maine wants to apply for a level two grant. So, you know, they're really popular. People see them as, you know, good for business, an attraction for business. A lot of downtowns want them. So we're making progress. The one thing that I am very happy about is, and there's been a lot of talk about federal government taking some of those funds back, Maine was able to, in our words, obligate all of that money before it was taken away. So we've held on to all 5 years of the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure funding. We also received a pretty large grant charging fueling infrastructure, And we retained all of that. We're like one of only two states in the country that have been able to maintain all of our charging money. We didn't have to hand any of it back. So we still have more
Wonderful.
to do. Yeah.
So in sum, we've made a lot of progress, but we're still working on it.
Correct.
Well, Michael, Joyce said something about level two chargers. So if you could explain what a level two charger is, what a level one and a level three charger is, and then also give us some numbers. What are we looking at in Maine right now?
Jen, a level two charger means the power's coming through at 240 volts, and that's the kind of charger you would put at your home if you wanted to have a home charger where you charge up overnight in your driveway or your garage. And it's the kind of charger that people are putting in at maybe hotels and motels and restaurants where people are going to take some extra time. They're going to be there for a while. They're the lowest cost way to do it, but it does take a bit longer. You wouldn't have that at a gas station where you would go for a quick fill if you were on a trip up the highway. The kinds of chargers you used when you get off the highway for a quick recharge are what called a level three charger, also sometimes called a DC fast charger. And those are much more expensive. They're probably 10 times more expensive, but they're also much, much faster. So that's the kind of thing that will charge up your car to about 80% of a full charge in something like 20 to 30 minutes. And the fact is that they're getting faster and faster every year. So what used to take 20 or 30 minutes is now taking 10 to 15 minutes, and they speculate that in a couple of years it might take 5 to 10 minutes. And at that point, you're really getting to something that's comparable to what we are accustomed to with filling up a gas car. To finish up or fill in where Joyce left off on the number of chargers. Through our programs that we've been working on in Maine since 2018, we have now 650 locations across the state where there are public EV chargers available to anybody who wants to pull in and recharge. At those 650 locations, there's usually more than one charger. And we call those ports. And so there are more than 1,500 ports spread across those 650 locations. So, as Joyce said, it really has now gotten to the point where you can get there from here. You can get just about anywhere in Maine. There is one in Van Buren. There is a DC fast charger in Van Buren, as a matter of fact. So, if you have an uncle who lives there, go visit them in your EV.
All right. Well, Chuck, I want to turn to you. Joyce kind of hinted to this when she said that it seems like every brew pub in Maine wants a level two charger. We have those chargers that are accessible off of public highways and byways, but also there's this alternative infrastructure build out of private businesses looking to attract customers. And I know you've been involved in many of these. Tell us what kind of projects you're doing, how many there are, and what people who are new to EVs might find as they travel around the state.
Yeah, thanks. So we have been involved with a lot of them with Revision Energy. I work on our commercial EV team. And as Joyce mentioned, a lot of that federal funding has really spurred a lot of interest in these and a lot of options for businesses to put these in. So since the fall of 2024, we've partnered with a lot of towns that put them in and municipal lots, breweries, as Joyce said, we've done a couple of those, hotels, like any kind of business that wants to put them in, there is money available through Efficiency Maine to do those. And we've since the fall of 2024, we've installed 122 level two ports across various locations throughout the state of Maine. And those are great, great chargers for people to use in those lots where they're going to be for a while. We put some in Ellsworth, and I used them this past summer when I was up there, plugged in, walked around the town, got lunch, went to a few different shops, and by the time I came back, my car was fully charged. So there's a lot of opportunity for those, and we're building them out pretty quickly throughout the state. And I think the state of charging in Maine looks very different this summer than it did last summer. So I think that's something important for people who are new to EVs is just to realize that it's still really evolving and growing quickly. A lot of times the thing that you may have heard a couple months ago is already out of date, in some cases, and in a good way.
I see. So the last year, really a big difference. Joyce, let's get real. I'm listening to this program and I'm thinking about an EV. Who would you say, yeah, you're a good person, you're a good candidate for an EV right now? And who would you say, you know what, you still might want to wait a little while?
I think as part of the federal money, one of the goals was for people to be able to go interstate, right? I can go to Indiana and I can charge the whole way. I think you really need to do some research if you're going to take long distance trips and just figure out, how available is that charging? Has it actually happened? I will say not to brag, but I think I know Maine was one of the first states to use some of this federal money. So some people are behind us. I
Some other
think,
states are behind
yeah,
us.
other states, I'm sorry. But I think, the average person who is doing mostly in-state travel and even New England, the New England network is pretty good right now. And I think that people would be surprised at how available, especially those level twos are around the state. They really are in every pocket of the state. You're probably within, you're within, even with the fast chargers, our goal has been on certain corridors to have a fast charger every 50 miles. And so that's still our goal. So I think you as a know your own travel, right? Can do some research. There's some really good maps online about where the chargers are, whether they're accessible. So I think there are tools out there to help people make their individual decisions.
All right. Michael, there's been a lot of news about what is going on at the federal level in terms of rebates and such. And I was wondering if you could bring us up to speed on what is available for people who might be thinking about an EV, either a vehicle, a new or used vehicle, or a home charging station. Are there incentives?
Yes, I'm happy to report that in the great state of Maine, there are incentives. We have our own set of policies in the state and priorities that do have funding. And so there are incentives for both of those things, for qualified vehicles and for eligible customer groups. It's somewhat more limited than it has been in the past. So you do need to check the rules. I would strongly encourage anyone who's contemplating any car purchase to go to our website, because there's a ton of information there, including all the explanations of available rebates. But to summarize, we have different sets of rebates, rebate levels depending on your income level and whether you're buying a new car or a used car. And we know a lot of Mainers, like myself, have always bought used cars. And so we recognize that that's an important avenue for folks, and we want to make sure they're included and encouraged to look at EVs. So if you're a moderate income household, which is a single filer with less than $70,000 adjusted gross income, or jointly filing with combined income less than $100,000, which is a lot of people in Maine, the rebates are $6,000 for a new EV and $3,000 for a used EV. So if you're in that category, you should absolutely consider that, because our analysis shows that the average cost of a used EV is about $1,000 more than a non-EV, a conventional used car. So if the average incremental cost is only about $1,000, and we're offering an incentive of $3,000, you're looking at a pretty good deal. And when you factor on top of that the reality that with today's gas prices, you'd be saving something in the neighborhood of $65 a month on gas, the price of electricity compared to the price of gas to charge up your car. And that's $780 a year. So you'd also be saving an additional $780 a year at today's prices. So that's a pretty interesting opportunity. If you're a business or a nonprofit, you're also eligible. We have incentives of $4,000 on a new EV and $3,000 on a used EV. If you're in the market for a commercial van, we have a special incentive for those, which is between $12,000 and $14,000. So if you're a business person and you have a use for deliveries, or you take a van to your job sites, these are great vehicles, and this is a really generous incentive. We're trying to get the business community more involved in
Yeah,
this.
Michael, I
And
want to ask you about that. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing a lot of main companies turn to EVs for, like you said, delivery trucks and such?
no, we're not seeing a lot, but we are seeing some. And the ones who have done it seem really, really happy with the results. But it has been slower to get to gain interest in that community. So that's part of the reason we have this pretty juicy incentive to try and get people's attention.
I think what's really interesting too, those numbers that Michael shared about the savings, that's based on probably average mileage that people drive in an average EV, but really it's percentage based that you're saving on gas. So the more you spend on gas, the more you would save by driving electric, whether that's a large vehicle, like a commercial vehicle we're talking about, or if it's, somebody who's driving a lot of miles in their car. I think it's about 40% less that you would spend to use electricity to power your drive instead of gas, the cost of gas. Even better when you're comparing to the cost of diesel right now. So I think that's a really important point that, the more you drive, the more you can save with an EV. And the other thing too is Efficiency Maine also has really good programs for chargers right now. After the rebate, it comes out to $29 for the charger. You still need an electrician to do the work to run the circuit and do the installation, but the actual hardware is only $29. They also are good for the grid, the way they kind of shut off in the evening when that grid peak happens. So I think that's another great opportunity to make it accessible for people who are looking to get EVs.
Great, Chuck. And I wanted to ask you about the charger incentives in terms of businesses. What are you able to help it, the whether it's a brew pub or somebody else, and they want to put a charger in to serve their customers? Are there incentives for that?
There are some right now that are available for level two throughout the state. There's some target a list of target cities and towns throughout the state that get preferential scoring for those. But the funding can support up to 80% of the project cost. I think it's capped at $10,000 per port. Michael might know the specifics better than I do on that particular program, but it's up to like 80,000. So it or sorry 80%. So it covers a large portion of that installation cost. For businesses or hotels or kind of, lots of different places. A lot of towns are taking advantage, as I said earlier. So it makes it much, much more feasible for them to put install chargers.
Did you want to jump in, Michael?
No, he's doing a better job than I am at talking about our programs. I think I need to put this guy on the payroll.
Well, I would just say that we've really made a conscious effort to make it easy for people to apply for these funds, and we really want to get that money out on the street. And so we've made a conscious effort of trying to keep the paperwork, the rules, to a minimum, and really, just get them operational. So that's been our goal, is to really work with people to make it simplistic.
It sounds as though, because so many programs we know run out of money, Joyce, it sounds like you still have money to give out.
We do. We were lucky. We received, that large grant I spoke to that gave us some flexibility in terms of being able to both fund the level twos and the level threes. So we do have some money remaining. We still have some money remaining for the we call it the NEVI program, but the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Program. So we're actively continuing to try to get it out the door. Michael and I keep saying, we just want to spend it. We want to get it out. And we're really working hard to get that done.
All right. Well, we are talking about electric vehicles on Maine Calling, and specifically the state's infrastructure. What are your questions? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we are learning all about electric vehicles and specifically the state of the infrastructure in Maine to support them. My guest today, Chuck Hayward, EV Infrastructure Design and Analyst with Revision Energy, Michael Stoddard, the Executive Director of Efficiency Maine, and Joyce Taylor, Deputy Commissioner with the Maine Department of Transportation. We invite you to join the conversation. If you can get through, give us a call, 1-800-399-3566, or send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. We'll start with Erin, who's calling in from Portland. Hi, Erin. Go ahead.
Hi. I've had an EV since 2021, and I've finally gotten kind of past the range anxiety and started driving it. But I had an experience last fall where I went up to Bangor for a work meeting, and I was staying up at a hotel by the Bangor Mall. And so I was like, you know, this is going to be fine, and didn't really research charging. And I got up there, and not only were there no chargers at the Bangor Mall, but there were chargers at all of the giant car dealerships up there, which is one of the things when you get an EV, you kind of learn how to find chargers, and they have them at dealerships. But all of them were disabled for the night. And literally were only operational, like they're like, we're operational, you know, during working hours, which was insane. And so I got stuck up there with no way to get home. And I ended up finally finding a little tiny car dealership, shout out to Varney's Buick, that had a free level two charge point, like just a normal one that didn't even charge money, that I ended up charging on. But it's one thing that I think really needs to be written to this policy is if we're going to be funding chargers, they need to work 24 hours a day so people can pull up and, you know, I mean, you pay your money through the service that it involves, but this shutting them off for the night was just crazy. So anyway, that's just,
yeah, Erin, thank you. And Joyce, I'll turn to you. Were you surprised to hear Erin's tale?
No, but I do have good news. There are some other chargers we've funded up there. I don't believe we've funded with public funds the car dealership chargers. In our contracts with people, there is a 24/7 hour rule, and we actually have requirements through Michael's contracts with people about reliability and that they have to work, what is it, Michael, like 97% of the time? I think I got it right. So, and we measure that. They actually are hooked up to a system where we can see whether or not they're reliable, because we have heard a lot of stories like that where people can't find a charger or it's broken, don't have access to it. So the ones that are receiving the funding through Efficiency Maine and the state network do have upcharge requirements.
Erin, go ahead, Michael.
If I could just chime in, Jen. So other relevant information is, number one, those dealership chargers are fully privately funded by them. They did not receive any of the public funds through us. So they have a bit more discretion in how and when to deploy those chargers. And the other thing is, we've added quite a bit of charging capacity in the last 12 months. So since your caller had that experience, I think they would have a better experience this year if they were to go through it again, because there are several more new high-speed public charging facilities in Bangor.
All right. And
I think the other thing too is the cost. A lot of these dealers, you know, when they put them in, they don't have a lot of EVs and they use them once and get hit with what's called demand charges. And I know we're not getting into utility policy, but the answer when you see that high bill is not to stop people from using the charger. It's to let more people use the charger. So if any dealers are listening, the best thing you could do is keep them on and let people pay to use them more, so that we don't have those situations. It's better for drivers, better for dealers, and the cost, like the economics of operating those charging sites.
All right. And on Facebook, other people who are frustrated, Barry writes, having a Nissan Leaf for 10 years, I can highly recommend not getting involved with public charging. Plan on having home level 2 charger minimum. And Jay Allison writes, I drive a 2023 Nissan Leaf. I'd like to know where all those new charging stations Janet Mills promised to build are located, because I travel all over southern and central Maine and I see no difference. There aren't enough public chargers. Joyce, you're nodding.
I do think a lot has changed. I will tell you that it has been a struggle in the beginning when we got the money. There were some serious delays with some of the transformers getting some of the equipment. We've struggled a little bit with getting those online as fast as we would have liked. Certainly the level threes, the fast chargers. So I think that you should be seeing somewhat of a difference. I think this year is going to be a huge difference in terms of the number of online fast chargers you're going to see. It's coming. It has taken time. We have struggled a little bit again up north and down east. We've had contracts lined up. People have pulled out because they weren't sure they could earn enough revenue. We subsidize a little bit in terms of the demand charges. So we've been really working hard at our contract modeling, just trying to figure out what's going to work for people. But I do think that really, even over the last 6 months, Michael, would you agree that the number of chart ports that are online have significantly improved? And I will say EMT has a map on their website now showing the chargers. You can dig in and look at that. So we're trying to just be as transparent as we can in terms of which ones are online.
Yeah, they're coming. We just brought on a new fast charging site at the Alltown convenience store in Orono. That was in the past month or so that went online. We've got crews out installing level two chargers at the near the state capitol in Augusta. This week, I think they're out there. So they are coming out. Part of the problem is not much happens in the winter, so that's why I was saying, looking at last summer compared to this summer, there'll be more and more this summer. And we put in 122 level twos, and part of the challenge is getting people to realize that they're there. Like if you look on PlugShare, kind of find some things like that. That's a good way to do it. But I think it's really helpful to a lot of the cars now. The navigation systems, like Google, has started putting EV chargers. So if you go into your Google Maps and let it know you're driving an EV, it's just going to pop up little pins on the map on CarPlay if you have that as you're driving around. It's super easy to find them that way. A lot of the navigation systems will kind of direct you there. So that's a great way to find new chargers as they become available, and there are more and more coming on online all the time.
We'll go to Bill calling from Glenburn. Hi, Bill. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hi there. I bought a Chevy Bolt 22 this past April Fool's Day. The only way I could compare mileage is this MPGe, so the miles per gallon equivalent. It must, in my mind, this must be converting cost of gasoline and the cost of electricity in order to come out with this number. The Bolt had something in the neighborhood of 120 miles per gallon equivalent. What was that based on? Whose electrical prices? Where it was in the country? And how long ago was that? Because with the price of gasoline going up by a third, am I now getting a third more, so 160 miles per gallon equivalent?
Oh, good
So
questions, Bill. So, who wants to explain what the MPGe is and how it's calculated?
I can attempt to do that. It's a very strange number, and it's I believe it essentially comes from the amount of energy that is in a gallon of gasoline versus the amount of energy that is in a kilowatt hour. For an electric vehicle, and it's kind of a convoluted measurement. I think the best way to compare prices is to look at the cost per mile to drive an EV versus the cost per mile to drive if a gas or diesel vehicle. And if you look at those and you take, you need to compare similar cars, right? So for example, if you take an F-150 gas truck, you want to use the mile per gallon of that, which is probably around 20 versus the efficiency of an electric truck at 2 kilowatt hours or 2 miles per kilowatt hour, roughly. If you do that math on comparable vehicles, it comes out that if you're using home charging in Maine, it is about 40% less the cost to use electricity than it is the cost to use the gas of an equivalent vehicle. And that will work as long as you're comparing equivalent vehicles. Your Bolt is obviously going to get a lot more better efficiency than a large truck. So you got to make sure you're using the same comparison. But right now it's about 40% less. And as gas prices go up, it's important, electricity prices don't change as frequently. So you're kind of insulated from that volatility that we're seeing with gas prices right now. So that comparison will just get better as gas prices go up.
Bill, thanks for your question. An email here from Dewey. How does one find out what level a charger is? I find chargers online, but it is difficult to ascertain whether that charger is level 1, 2, or 3. This makes travel planning really difficult, especially when we are already on the road. So who has tips for Dewey? Yeah, Michael.
So there are lots of different tools that drivers can use to locate these chargers, these public chargers. One of the most commonly used ones is an app that is online that Chuck referenced called PlugShare. And if you go into PlugShare, it pops up a map of Maine, and you can zoom in on the place you think you're going to travel to or the place you're traveling past. And when you see one of these little pins that's been dropped in on the map, you can click on it and it will bring up a whole panel that gives you all the information about what's happening at that location on the map. And it tells you what size charger it is, if it's a level 2 or a level 3 charger. You have to know the terminology a little bit, but these ones that are labeled as CCS or NACS, those are fast chargers. Those are the level 3 chargers that will charge up your car in 10, 15, 20 minutes. If they say that they're, if it's not that, then it's usually the J1772, and that is not a fast charger. That's a middle-level charger, the level 2 chargers that we talked about, and that'll take a much longer time. But if you're going to be parked for a couple of hours while you do some shopping, that might be perfectly suitable while you're out. Or if you're staying at a hotel and you're going to be spending the night there, it's also a perfect solution for that.
It's important to remember that it's so different depending on the vehicle that you have too. You know, if you're driving like a Bolt, when one of the callers mentioned a Bolt, it doesn't really have this infotainment system, but a lot of the newer EVs, it's built right into the dash, and it makes it really, really easy to find that. If you're driving a Tesla, like, it's basically going to send you to chargers for you. So it really is going to vary vehicle by vehicle. And you know, it's much, much easier. The fact that Google has it integrated now, I mean, who doesn't use Google Maps on their phone when they're driving to navigate? And that is now directing people to chargers. I think that is really changing how easy it is to find chargers. It's not a special app you need to have anymore. Those apps are still there and they're great if that's what you want to do. But it's also becoming much easier for just a mainstream driver using the technology they're already using and familiar with to find charging.
We'll go to Stephen calling from Bucksport. Hi, Stephen. Go ahead.
Hi. Greetings from Bucksport, Maine. My name is Stephen St. Peter. I do a lot of EV advocacy, and we have 5 charging stations in Bucksport. They're all level 2s. I'd like to see more done as opposed to DC fast chargers in northern Maine. I'd like to see like some of the gas stations invest in them. I've been trying to get IONNA to come to Bucksport to install DC fast chargers because they don't have any in Maine yet. So I've heard good things about IONNA. And I'd like to issue a challenge to the future governor of Maine, which is coming up very soon. I'd like to see more done about DC fast chargers everywhere, whether it be Bucksport, Portland, small villages. I mean, we need
great,
to.
Great, Stephen. Yes, I got your point. Go ahead, Joyce. What do you say to Stephen?
We're working on it. We still have money. You know, we're trying to plot out where to put them. But in terms of the fast chargers, we definitely are still working to get them into more areas. We have RFPs on the street at various times. We will have more on the street this year. So we're coming. We are learning in terms of where there's not as much demand right now, how to work with the gas stations in particular. They're great locations, right? They have lighting, they're accessible, they have stuff for people to do. So we hear you.
Michael.
If I could chime in, I have two comments on that I think are raised by the caller that might be helpful. One is good news is we're starting to see more and more private investors, private businesses, property owners put in these fast chargers on their own nickel with no public subsidy at all. And that tells me that the marketplace is getting more mature now and people are starting to see the business opportunity to be a provider of this service. And so I think it's a very positive sign that, our marketplace is getting more mature and people are investing their own money without any subsidy to do it. The second thing is people should not lose sight of how different it is to have a car where your filling station is at home. It's just so very different. The average Mainer drives 35 miles a day. And the average range of these new generation of EVs is somewhere between 200 and 300 miles. So you're not going to need to charge up out in public as much as you used to with the earlier generation of EVs. And so I just think it's so many of us are driving around Maine for our daily drive where these public chargers are going to be very valuable as an emergency charging place if we get in a pinch, but most of us are just not going to need it because we're charging up at home overnight, which is cheaper and extremely convenient. It takes you about 30 seconds to walk over to the plug and plug it in.
Chuck, you wanted to go ahead.
Yeah, I'm so glad you made that point. I actually just yesterday in my EV, I rolled over 50,000 miles. So I, kind of a big milestone. I thought it'd be fun to look back at how often I've used charging, public charging and fast chargers like that. In those 50,000 miles, I've only used 60 fast chargers. That's like the equivalent of a gas station, right? So if you do the math, that's once every 833 miles, right? It is pretty rare that all of this we're talking about using these fast chargers and, public charging. It's pretty rare when you own an EV because, like Michael said, your most of your charging is just in your driveway. So there's a lot of attention paid to that, but it's really important to remember that that is not the usual experience for most people in their EV. The usual experience is you plug in your driveway, you never think about it.
All right. Well, Stephen, thanks for that question. We do need to take another quick break. This is Maine Calling. We are talking about electric vehicle infrastructure in Maine. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We're talking about electric vehicles and infrastructure on Maine Calling. Our guest today, Chuck Hayward with Revision Energy, Michael Stoddard with Efficiency Maine, and Joyce Taylor with the Maine Department of Transportation. We're going to get to as many questions as possible during this last section of the program. I'm going to apologize ahead of time to all of you. I'm not going to get to. Here's an email from Maria. She says, "We've had an EV since 2020, no regrets. We live in Franklin County. The things that do bother me about the infrastructure, one, I do not want to have to download a different app on my phone for every place I charge. I just want to tap my credit card and have easy payment and be done with it. That's how I refuel my gas car. Similarly, there are a few different types of charger ports and not all fit my vehicle." And then I'm annotating as I go here. "Also, locate public chargers in places that are walkable and interesting, not at a gas station." I want to go back to Mario's first point, though, because boy, it can take some planning in terms of downloading apps and figuring out who needs what. Is this going to change? Michael?
I'm not sure any of us are really the experts in the payment systems that these different brands of charger use. Chuck probably has more familiarity with them than any of us since he works for a place that has to figure out which ones to buy and install. But we are somewhat at the mercy of what the manufacturers make. We have tried to require with the ones that are publicly funded that they be able to be paid for with a credit card. And usually there is a way to do it, but I agree with the caller. Sometimes it's a pain to have to go through the, calling the 800 number to activate the charger with a credit card. But I have the sense that the industry is moving in this direction. So I'm optimistic that it's getting better.
We'll go to Frederick calling from Bath. Hi, Frederick, go ahead.
Hi, what a wonderful program. I can attest to having no Google Map, nor do I want to be involved in anything Google. We had just come back from Asheville by looking at a map and using Siri. But the happiness quotient with my Leaf, with my wife and I, is beyond belief. We're so happy to have this car. Just a couple of questions. One is, if I decide to sell this car to another person, like a private person sale, does the person have the opportunity, or do I have the opportunity to have the $3,000 rebate on a used car? And then secondly, the other question is, now here in Bath, how does the public library here have charging stations? Was that their own private initiative to fundraise and pay for the two units that we have? How does that happen at a library across Maine anywhere?
Okay, two different questions. So I'm going to turn to you, Michael, for the first one. Do the rebates apply to private sales of electric vehicles?
I'm afraid they do not. They have to be purchased from a participating dealership.
Okay, and then maybe Joyce, turn to you for the second question. How does a public library have a charger?
They can apply for one of the grant programs that Michael administers. We've had libraries, which are actually a great location to put one. People spend time there. There's typically internet access. I don't know if we did pay for that one or not. I can't remember, but I do know they have to pay 20% of the cost, so we pay 80%.
There you go, Frederick. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, the opportunity for those types of grants is still available. If you go to the Efficiency Maine website at efficiencymaine.com, there's a link, there's a tab called About. And when you go into the About tab, you'll find something called Opportunities. And it's right there listed with all the other RFP requests for proposals. So it's still available. And I think Chuck's firm put that one in.
We did. Yes, I did the design for those, actually. And I would say, as a driver, one of the best things you can do is, if there are places where you would like to have charging, let those businesses know, because, you know, even though 80% is covered, they still have to pay that 20%. And a lot of times they're trying to figure out, is it worth it to pay that, you know, get that 20%? Are we going to get enough people using it to really make it worth our time? So if you let restaurants, libraries, wherever you want to charge, grocery stores, I think, are a great place, let them know you want to use it. That you would love to see charging there. And that hopefully will help move the needle on that and help them to take advantage of these opportunities.
We'll go to David, who's on the road. Hi, David, go ahead.
Good morning. Quick question. Are there plans to install level 3 chargers on the service plazas along the main pike?
Joyce.
There are. So there are some in Kennebunk right now. We have contracts right now for Cumberland and Gray. Is it Gray? I can't remember.
It is. They'll be done this summer.
Yeah.
They'll be done this summer. There you go, David. There's your answer. An email here from Anne. My question is about the cost of operating an electric vehicle. I currently drive a Prius, which is a gas and battery powered hybrid. I routinely get between 55 and 65 miles per gallon. I know that Maine does not have the least expensive electricity in the country, and I was wondering if anyone could compare the cost of driving a vehicle that is solely electric as compared to an efficient hybrid such as mine.
Well, there are tools to do that analysis. I think the caller has a good observation that the car they're currently driving is already very efficient, even though it's using gas. So when I started out this discussion today with an example of how much the average car owner would save, which is about $65 a month by switching from an average gas car to an average EV, this caller would not save quite as much money. I bet they would save more like $20 to $30 a month instead of $65 to $70 a month.
And June has a similar question. She's also sent an email in. She says, our electric bills are already high. How will an EV affect our electric bill? So what are people seeing when they do that, what you recommended, Chuck, when they come home and they maybe plug in their EV at night to get it ready for the morning? How much is their electric bill going up?
You know, that's going to vary so much depending on the size of the vehicle you have, how much you drive. But the thing to say about that is your electric bill might go up a little bit, but your gas station bill is going to disappear, right? So your electric bill goes up, sure. But if you look at the amount of change there, That's where I was saying it's about 40% less than what you would be paying on gas. So if you're paying $100 a month on gas, your electric bill might go up $60. You're still saving $40.
Michael.
And if you...
Go ahead, Chuck, finish up.
I was just going to take the opportunity to make a plug that if you pair that with solar, it's essentially, you know, you're not worrying about the cost of your electric bill either.
And I would just add that both of the largest utilities in Maine, which is Central Maine Power and Versant Power, they now have something called a time of use rate, which is a special rate you can sign up for if you're a resident or if you're in a residential home or in a small business. And that rate is designed to charge you a little bit more for electricity between 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. on weekdays when the grid is the most expensive to operate and they have the most constraints on the grid. But all the rest of the hours, you pay less for your electricity. So if you have a very large appliance like an EV and you can put it on a timer, or you buy this special plug, the special charger that Chuck mentioned at the beginning, which we will give you $400 off for in a rebated Efficiency Maine, which is pre-programmed to not charge between 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. It will push your charging time to after 9 p.m. and it charges up overnight and you wake up in the morning and you have a full battery, but you pay less for electricity during those nighttime hours. So we are encouraging people to get this charger for $29 and install it, and then also sign up for the utility's time of use rate, which is lower during off-peak hours, so long as you avoid those 5 to 9 on weekdays.
All right, we'll go to Ken calling from Newport. Hi, Ken, go ahead.
Hello, thanks for having me on. I'm responding to several questions. It turns out we've been driving a Bolt for 3 years. So for the person who's trying to figure out e-miles per gallon, there's a simple workaround. Your Bolt can tell you how many kilowatt hours you use since the last charging. Your electric bill tells you how many kilowatt hours you used at home, what the cost is, and you can do the simple math and figure out what your cost per mile is for fuel compared to gasoline. I started this not to talk about Bolts, which we love. There is the person who said, is an EV right for me? The first reality check, and as someone who loves EV, I'm not tooling on them in the least. Don't look at the range as predicted. Look at the winter range. You live in Maine. January will limit what you're driving. So if you're commuting to work, and your back and forth is more than your range, then you better be prepared to stop somewhere and charge. We adjust our expectations with the seasons. And for the winter, we can stretch it a little bit because we go to 100% charging during the coldest months. The rest of the year, we use that 80% rule, which extends battery life. The other thing that tips the cost on an EV for someone is if you drive it in regenerative braking mode, which I call Mario Kart mode, it's amazing to drive. Your brakes last an incredibly long time. So you're not looking at a $1,000 brake job after 40,000 miles like you might be with a gasoline vehicle. We have a Prius hybrid right now at 100,000 miles, had its first brake job. The Bolt has roughly 50, and the brakes show no sign of being close to being worn out. Thanks.
Ken, thanks so much for calling in with your tips. I appreciate it. We'll go to Walterboro and Chris. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I'm definitely an EV evangelist. Had one for close to 10 years, and I support both the low maintenance. What I'm calling about is whether long-term parking infrastructure could incorporate EVs, if literally I'm thinking of the Jetport, Transportation Center, those kinds of places. If there are just 110 outlets in the parking areas, then we all have our own level one chargers that come with the car. We could just plug in for 2 or 3 days while you're away and come back. And it would be much less costly than putting in level two chargers, certainly.
Okay, Chris, thank you so much. Joyce, is that an idea that's out there? Is that going to happen?
I mean, I think we have to be aware that they still have to recoup their electric costs as well. And so, if you have a ton of people charging, they need to look at, what they're going to pay for electricity. They're not going to just necessarily give it out for free at this point. But I hear what he's saying. I think there's just some nuances with some of this. I do know Portland Transportation Center has looked at electrification. They've inquired. I think the Jetport has some. So they're talking about it.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for your call. And you're going to be the last call because this has been a very, very popular topic, but we're out of time. And I want to thank our guest, Joyce Taylor, is the Deputy Commissioner at the Maine Department of Transportation, Michael Stoddard, the Executive Director of Efficiency Maine, and Chuck Hayward, EV Infrastructure Design and Analyst with Revision Energy. Today's sound engineer was Jane Donahue. Tomorrow on the program, bird conservation efforts and success stories. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You have been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.